Okay, welcome back, everyone, to our Experience Shabbat Shir. I apologize for the hiatus last week, and I do have to apologize doubly because we are still not continuing directly with our... we're still in the middle of our Tefillah series, but we are taking an additional week off from speaking about davening to talk about the all-important topic of the blessings that we give to children on Shabbos. And the reason why I wanted to speak about this was because, truth be told, we should have spoken about it last week, but we didn't have a shir last week because of that special program that our shul was a partner in. But we'll speak about it this week. And so the reason why I want to speak about the notion of blessing children is because there is a pretty well-known custom that people have to bless children on Shabbos, and there are those who even have the custom beyond blessing children. When I was in Memphis, there was a man who... elderly man who was sort of like one of the pillars of the community there, and every single Friday night, I guess probably not in these COVID times, but every single Friday night, people would line up. I mean, like literally every single person in the shul would line up, and he would give every single person a bracha as if he was blessing one of his children, and it was very sweet. So that's probably not the most ideal thing to do, as we'll soon see. But there is an idea of blessing people, whether they are your biological children or perhaps, you know, just important people in your life. And so let's see what this is all about and where it all comes from. So there's a pasuk in last week's parsha. Yes.
Was he a Kohen?
He was not a Kohen. Oh. Right. A Kohen is a little bit, you know, a little bit more room to do that. He was just a like an elderly guy and who sort of viewed himself as the patriarch of the community in some ways, and so that's why he did it. So it was really sweet and really just like you felt like you were in Memphis when it was all happening. It was a very Memphis kind of experience, but interesting nonetheless. Anyways, so this whole idea comes
from... Was he blessing them from a balcony?
No. So we learned about the notion of blessing from last week's parsha, in Parshas Vayechi, when we have the very famous scene when Ephraim and Menashe are sitting in front of Yaakov Avinu, and the pasuk says Vayevarachim bayom ahu, that he blessed them on that day, Lemor, and he said Becha Yivarech Yisrael, that by you or through you Israel will be blessed, Lemor, saying Yisimcha Elokim keEphraim lechem Menashe, Vayisem es Ephraim lefnei Menashe, that the famous words that we say every single Friday night to those who are blessing children, that God should make you like Ephraim and Menashe, or he was speaking to Ephraim and Menashe, and he told them that God's going to make you like Ephraim and Menashe, right? I always thought it was sort of ironic. When Yaakov Avinu gave the bracha, he was telling Ephraim and Menashe that God should bless you. It's a really beautiful bracha when you think about it at face value, that Hashem should bless you, that you should be yourself to the fullest. And what do? We then bless the boys and say, Hashem should bless you, that you should be nothing like yourself, that you should be like Ephraim and Menashe. I always thought it was ironic, but that's besides the point. But so that was the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave to Ephraim and Menashe, but the word specifically that he said were Becha Yivarech Yisrael, that Israel will be blessed by you. And Rashi explains on the pasuk that Habal Varech Aspanav, that anyone throughout the rest of Jewish history who is going to go bless their children, Yivarchem Bebrachasam, they're going to bless them with this bracha. Vayomar Ishlev Noah, and a man will say to his child, Yisimcha Elokim keEphraim and Menashe, that Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe. Evidently, right, there's a lot to talk about in that area, which we're not going to touch so much, but why are we being blessed by to be like Ephraim and Menashe? And there's an idea that they were the first Jewish children who were born into exile, right? Yosef HaTzadik was so special because he was able to maintain the traditions that he learned from his father's family, from his father's home and from his father's family, but ultimately he had the experience of being in the presence of Yitzchak Avinu and Yaakov Avinu. The Menashe and Ephraim never got to meet the rest of their Jewish family, but somehow they managed to stay connected to their Jewish roots, and so therefore they really were very special individuals, and so it's very worthwhile to understand that we are blessed to be like them because they knew what it meant to survive and be connected and thrive in their Judaism, even in a life of exile. And that's why we too, these boys, are blessed to be like Ephraim and Menashe. So that's where it all starts. But the question is, how do we get to where we are today? That there is a notion, that there's a custom and an idea that we bless children on Friday night. So the truth is, it's not so clear. The earliest source that we really find is only going back to the 18th century. In the Siddur Beis Yaakov of the Yavetz Rav Yaakov Emden, he writes in a Siddur, so I'm going to read for you a piece that quotes his Siddur, and it says as follows. It's a piece from Rabbi Ari Wasserman. He writes, Besiddur Beis Yaakov lehagon ha-Yavetz, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, he writes, Kasav she'amin hagam shel Yisrael varechas hayeladim b'leil Shabbos, that there's a custom to bless children on Friday night, achar hatfila o b'chnisa sam l'bayis. There are two possible times when one can bless their children, either right after davening. So if you're in shul with children, you bless the children after davening, Excuse me. Or once you go into the house on Friday night, and there's an idea that some people say, so when you go into your house, so the custom that is brought down that I've seen is that people bless their children specifically in between Kiddush and Hamotzi, I believe. I've seen people do it at other times. My in-laws happen to do it, they do it right before, between Shalom Aleichem and Eishes Chayil, so that happens to be, that's when we do it as well. I don't know, I don't think it's such a big deal exactly when you choose to do it, but the custom is brought down if you're going to do it in your home on Friday night to specifically do it in between Kiddush and Hamotzi, so certainly worthwhile to look into that more. But anyways, Umanichem Shtei Yedehem Al Rosham, how many hands do you place on the child when you're blessing them? Place two hands, says the Yavetz, Kederach Shematzanu BeKohanim Shemavarchem B'Shtei Yedehem, because we want to be just like the Kohanim, when they bless, when they're duchening, we in America only duchen on the holidays. So when they duchen, they use both of their hands. They place them out right underneath their talis, and they're placing them out to everyone. So they use two hands. So we should use two hands. And so he says, well, let's take a step back for a second. We should use two hands? If this whole model of blessing the son, of blessing the child, is all about modeling after what Yaakov Avinu did, Yaakov Avinu only used one hand. He gave one to Ephraim and one to Menashe. So what do you mean that we should use two hands? So he basically says, well, I'll stop reading from there, but he says, I'll say it outside, that the reason why Yaakov Avinu did that is because he only had two hands, and he wanted to make sure he was blessing them both simultaneously, and that he had a hand on each of them simultaneously, so that there should not be any jealousy between them. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the ideal way to bless is using two hands. This is a very complex issue, because there's a Gemara that explains that we are not, that a Yisrael, or for that matter a Levi, I would assume, is not allowed to give a bracha in the same way like a Kohen does. So a Kohen can give a bracha, right? He does the thing with his hands. Unclear if a Yisrael or a Levi is allowed to make the same sign, right, the Kohen sign with the hands. So even if you're not doing that sign, let's say you're just placing your hands like that, right, palming your hand, so nonetheless there is an idea that a Yisrael should not be doing the bracha like the same way the Kohen does. So if you're going to be saying the passage of Yivrech Hashem Yishmerech, etc., and you're putting two hands on someone to mimic what the Kohanim do, so there are those that say that is very problematic, and therefore others say that you should specifically only use one hand to show that you're not being like the Kohanim. And so at the end of the day, it seems like there's what to rely on in terms of either two hands or one hand. Then why do we add the Birkas Kohanim? So again, Yaakov Avinu said that Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim ke'Menashe, and we say those words to boys, right, that Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe, but then we add the words of Birkas Kohanim, Yivrech Hashem Yishmerecha, Yair Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yichuneka, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yasim Lecha Shalom. Where in the world do those words come from? And so the truth is, there seems to not be such a great source to explain, as we'll see as we go through this a little bit further. There are very few sources throughout all of this custom, and so the best source that I could find was a short little paragraph explaining in the Arshkol Siddur that it intuits what I would have said as well, and I'll just read for you the passage. It says, these verses from the priestly blessings, the priests in the temple were designated as the instruments through which God allows his blessing to rest upon Israel. Similarly, parents in their own families serve as agents to bestow God's blessings upon their children. Basically, the Kohanim are our paradigm for a human being that blesses another human being, and the parents, as they are going to be the ones blessing their children, so okay, just like the Kohen, he uses this blessing and he blesses other humans, so to the parents, if he's going to bless another human, we give him this bracha as well. Basically, it's like a matter-of-fact reason. This guy does it, so what, we should do it too. It's not the best and the strongest proof, but that's what we do. Why is it that we have the custom in general to bless on a Friday night? Why not Tuesday night? Some have the custom to only bless on Erev Yom Kippur, right? There's a beautiful additional text that you could find in many of the Machzorim, and so there is a beautiful Erev Yom Kippur bracha. So some have the custom only to bless Erev Yom Kippur. There are those who say that you should not be blessing at all every Erev Shabbos, because it's a bracha and it should feel special. So some say only every now and again, or maybe some, I think, explain only you should do it Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. So why is it that many of us do have the custom to bless specifically on Friday night and every Friday night? So there are four answers that I saw. So three are brought down by the Ma'avar Yabok, Rav Aaron Avrachia of Modena. So here are the three reasons that he says. So he says on Shabbos, number one, There's no satan that conflicts or argues with the bracha, right? We give a bracha, and there's no satan who's going to argue against that and say that the person is not worthwhile to receive the bracha. So what an opportune time to give a bracha. Number two, there's an idea that Shabbos is a time in general when brachos are free-flowing, that it's just a time of bracha. So again, what an opportune time to give a blessing. There's a third idea that throughout the week, a father can easily get angry at their child, right? It does happen throughout the week that a father might get angry, and maybe the father, in a fit of rage or anger, he would, God forbid, come to curse the child. And if he cursed the child, that would be horrible. So we intuit that might happen, and therefore Friday night the father gives the bracha. So worst case scenario, if he then curses you a few days later, so they'll counteract each other and you'll end up being neutral. So better to start off with a bracha so that to make sure that you'll end up ahead no matter what. And then there's a fourth answer given by the Sefer Yosef Omitz, in which he says that a person who gives a bracha in general needs to be besimcha. And one has to be besimcha. And therefore, Shabbos is the perfect time to give a bracha because we are besimcha on Shabbos. It happens to be that that's not entirely clear. There's a whole machlokas if one does have an obligation to be happy on Shabbos. Right? We have the obligation to honor Shabbos, to enjoy Shabbos, to keep Shabbos, to remember Shabbos. Right? Kavod, oneg, zachor, and shomor. But the notion of being besimcha b'Shabbos is not so clear, but nonetheless, there is an explanation that says since we are besimcha on Shabbos, so then it makes sense to give a bracha on Shabbos because of that, because we like to give brachos when we're happy. This opinion in particular seems to say that there would therefore be other times on Shabbos to give a bracha that might be better, right? When are we our happiest on Shabbos? Well, not really on Friday night. That's when we're exhausted and we are just starting. So maybe Shacharis, maybe in the morning would be the best time to give a bracha when we're really in the thick of Shabbos. So there is an idea to give a bracha perhaps on another point throughout Shabbos as well. Why is there a different nusach for men and for women, right? So why do girls get that God should make you like the matriarchs, and then when it comes to the boys, we say you should make them like Ephraim and Menashe, right? It doesn't make any sense. It's not paralleled. Either the girls should be for girls, the girls should be the matriarchs and the boys should be the patriarchs, or the boys should be Ephraim and Menashe and give the girls someone else that's not the matriarchs, right? I don't know, choose another biblical figure, but you should be parallel. And so there's an idea brought down by the Gam Ani Odecha, Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovitz, and he says that, truth be told, you're right, it's a very good point, that girls should be the imahus. It makes sense for them to be the matriarchs. Why? Because who would not want their little Jewish girl to be like the matriarchs? But you'll say, fine, then the boy should be like the avos, he should be like the patriarchs, say he should be like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he says 100% that that's what we really should be doing. But what are you going to do? Because the Torah has a paradigm, and the paradigm is only for boys. And what is the paradigm for boys? That we should bless the boy to be like Ephraim and Menashe. So even though you're right, it probably would have been better to be at like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Ephraim and Menashe is specifically what Yaakov Avinu said that everyone was going to do for all the time, so that's the starting point. Now let's go back to the girls. What other parallel? You could choose a lesser known biblical figure, but the Imahus really is what it's all about and where it's all about. So we say the women, since there is no paradigm, give them the logical blessing to be like the Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And when it comes to the boys, since there's a biblical paradigm, a specific pasuk that says so we say we make them like Ephraim and Menashe as well. But let's try to dig a little deeper. Where in the world does all this actually come from? We haven't really given a clear source as to what this is all about and where it all comes from. So I want to share my screen real quick just to read through a piece with you. And as I'm beginning to share my screen, I will just... where is this? Okay, good, this is it. So as I'm sharing my screen with you, so let me just preface by saying that this comes from the Sefer Rivavos Ephraim. I have a little bit of a backstory with Rivavos Ephraim that makes me very excited. When I was in Memphis, so the Rivavos Ephraim was written by Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt. For those of you who are not familiar, the Greenblatt family in particular has a lot of ties with the Memphis community. There is a Rav there named Rav Nutta Greenblatt, who's one of the big gedolim in the world nowadays, and he lives in Memphis, Tennessee. He shall live and be well. while. He's in, I think, in his early 90s. So the Rebbe was Ephraim, a relative of Rav Nata Greenblatt, wrote a beautiful series of Shilos and Shuvos. When I was one of my jobs as the assistant rabbi towards the end of my tenure there was that they wanted me to organize the library a little bit. So I was organizing the library, and I found that they had all these extra Rebbe was Ephraims. I guess there was like a large printing that was done, and he wanted to give away some. So we gave some to the library in the shul there. So I was zocha that since they had some extra ones, I got to take a few. And I had lamented to myself in the past that when in the world am I ever really going to sit down and learn Rav Avos Ephraim properly? But as I was doing some research for this topic, I found that he has a beautiful tshuva on the topic of blessing one's children. So very exciting to be featuring the Rav Avos Ephraim inside in the shir and being able to have the actual piece to share with you from one of the sfarim that I have here. So let's see what he writes as follows. Haminhag levarich hayiladim b'leil Shabbos. It's a tshuva. It's a piece that he has specifically on blessing one's children on Friday night. So let's see what he writes. Natati libi. I placed my heart lachkor to figure out me'ein hamakor levarich hayiladim hayiladosh b'leil Shabbos lefnei kiddush. Where in the world does the custom come from to bless children on Friday night? V'lo matzati makor ne'aman. He says, I have not found a single source that makes any sense, that's trustworthy, that seems to be how that we can say that this is where the whole idea comes from, right? There's no Gemara, there's no Pasuk. Again, Yaakov Avinu says in the Pasuk that the Jewish people will say that they when they give their children blessings, they'll be blessed by Ephraim and Menashe, but Yaakov Avinu doesn't say that you should bless your children every Friday night. So Rav Ephraim Greenblatt is trying to figure out where is the source. V'sha'alti li'yididi harav hagon Rav Chaim David HaLevi Shlita, and he says, he has all these svarim, v'zeh asher he says, I'm going to tell you exactly what he told me. Not such a great answer, but I'll tell you what he said. I have no idea where the source of this whole bracha is that we bless children. Right, so it's a very important thing to honor the various customs that the Jewish people have, and therefore, since this is a custom, we should do it. Achanir lani vestaiti hu sheikar haminag inu bebracha. Nonetheless, you should be aware, says, unclear to me who's speaking right now. I think it's Rav Chaim David HaLevi who's speaking. He says, you should realize that the central root of this whole custom is actually not to give a blessing at all. Right? Most people think, oh, this is the real custom, to give blessings. No, that's not the custom. Ella haminig hakadom lenashik yedei hahorim. The real custom, actually, the origins of it, was that children used to kiss their parents' hands. V'chedechtiv Rashi Zal, that Avi Chadayo Derech Bnei Adam Kesheyotzei Mibeis Hakneses Miyad Hu Nosei La'aviv Ulimo Ulegadol Mimeno. There's a Gemara and Rashi comments on it that there's an idea that the kids would kiss their parents' hands. Ella Shekan Makom Itano Leva'er Sheikar Minhag Neshikas Hayad Al Derech Ha'emes Hu Le'im. Right, so there is an idea that you would kiss your mother's hand in particular. Right, that's like a very respectful thing. We don't really do that so much nowadays. The only real place where that still exists nowadays is that in the Jewish community, is that Sfardim, you know, like they'll kiss the ring or they'll kiss their Gedolim's hands. But otherwise, like Ashkenazim, we're too Jeremy, and so we don't really kiss too many hands. But there was a custom that people used to kiss their mother's hand, which, you know, that sounds very respectful, a nice, sweet thing to do. And others, right? That Tov Lenashek Yedei Imo B'Leil Shabbos. There's an idea that one should kiss their mother's hands. V'lachein, and therefore he says, Nir Ali Shehabracha Hishtarvava Agav Hanashika Shehi Ikar. He says, you want to know what the source of the bracha that we give children on Friday night is all about? He said that originates from this idea when children used to kiss their parents' hands. Kisvarhi kisha adam no shake yidei imo min hastam hi mevarechas oso. Right, so the sweet little child goes to kiss. He says, "Mommy, give me your hand. I want to kiss it." And the mommy says, "Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, my sweet little bite chick." And then she gives the bracha to him because she wants to give a bracha. What a sweet little boy! It's so appealing. He wants to kiss his mother's hand. It's so sweet. So we give the bracha to him as well as like a reward for kissing her hand. V'kivan shenoshek yidei imo mekabel berchata shehi haikar b'lal Shabbos al derech emes. And so that's what had always happened for many years. Noshek be'agav mipnei hakavod gam yidei aviv. And so we would also then kiss the father's hand. We kiss the mother's hand, which was more logical. So he said, okay, we'll give dad a kiss on the hand as well. V'gam hu mevarcho, and so too the father would give the bracha as well. This seems to imply, by the way, there are some households where everyone has just different customs. Again, I think that most of them are made up or just sort of fell into whatever the family was comfortable with. But some people, both the parents give brachas. Some families, only the father gives brachas. Some families, there are no brachas, right? But those who only the father gives the bracha and not the mother seems to, if Rabbi Greenblatt is right in terms of what the source of it is all, that it all started with really kissing the mother's hand first and that she would give the bracha. So it seems like everyone would then agree that the mother for sure should give the bracha and the father would be the only real question if the father should be giving the bracha, but certainly the mother should be giving it. Amor me'ata, so therefore ikar haminhag hakadum sheish lo makor hu neshika sayadayim v'habrachlus ba'u agav haneshika kevan sheb'emes lo matzano lehem makor ne'aman b'la Shabbos. Right, since we have no other source to connect this to, he said it makes the most sense that this is where it all comes from, the kissing of the hands, then the parents give the bracha, and that's where what we're doing over here. And then he goes further, and he quotes the same piece from Rabbi Yaakov Emden as a we quoted above. Anything else we want to see over here? Okay, yes. Yeah, so that's really it. So in other words, his main point that he's trying to make over here is that we have no idea where this custom comes from. It must originate, if anything, from this idea of kissing the parents' hands, and that's why they give the bracha as well. So what is the ultimate takeaway of all this? Where are we supposed to go with this? This is one of those topics that we don't really think about too much, and once you start to think about it a little bit more, you see that there's a lot of threads that we're not really able to trace back to their origins. So where are we supposed to go with this from now, since there are not that many other sources out there on this? And I think that the answer is two ideas. That Shabbos is a day that we know is filled with immense opportunity to reach and to elevate ourselves to higher levels. And what is Judaism all about if not the notion of passing things on from one generation to another? That we pass our generations from the parents to the children, from the grandparents to the children. And since Judaism is all about passing traditions on from one generation to the next, it makes a lot of sense that we would want to, on Shabbos, which is the holiest day of the week, to continue that custom of passing memories and traditions from one generation to the next. And therefore, on Friday night, what better idea can we have than from having some sort of transference of the past to the future than by saying that the parents should give the blessing to the next generation? But ultimately, I believe what it comes down to is that we want to make sure that Shabbos is a day in which we are living the day to the fullest. So anyone who is around you, to give them a bracha would be a beautiful thing, a beautiful idea to give them a bracha. Everyone should have a bracha on Shabbos that they should be zocha to merit to growing to new and higher levels. So again, the custom seems to be that a parent should give their child a bracha, and so some parents also have the custom, even if they're not with their children, to give them a call before Shabbos and to give them a bracha as well. And that's a beautiful idea too. Again, is it the best thing to do? Is it the ideal thing to do? It seems like there's not much of an opinion. You know, it's just nice to give brachos in general, but specifically on Shabbos, if you are around other people, you know, it's worthwhile to think about. Maybe you shouldn't give them the actual text of the brachos that we use to bless children, but to give other people who are around you a bracha, that you should have a beautiful Shabbos, that you should have a wonderful Shabbos, a restful Shabbos, a peaceful Shabbos. These are all brachos that we can give one another, even if they're not your biological children or children by any stretch of the imagination, just in order to ensure that we are all involved in this idea of recognizing that Shabbos is a day of absolute growth and that we are doing what we can to live the day to the fullest and enabling others to be able to live their Shabbos to the fullest as well. With that, I wish everyone a beautiful night and a blessed Shabbos, and everyone should have a peaceful Shabbos.
Thank you.